Welcome to another episode of Code for Thought, Bite-Sized.
And in this episode of Bite-Sized RSE, we'll talk about the README file and why it is important and why we should have one in the first place. And for this, I invited Julian Lentz from the University in Swansea in the UK, and we'll hear from him in the second half of this episode. But before we go into it, just a brief note. With this episode, we conclude the first season of Bite-Sized RSE sessions. It would be great if you could let us know what you think about it. Either leave a review on your podcast app, contact me on RSE Slack, or simply send me an email. And now back to the README file. In the context of programming and software engineering, it may at first seem odd to discuss a simple text-based file, and yet this file is playing an important role when sharing your code with others, or even reminding yourself of the software you created a while ago. Because after all, how would people know how to install, use, and potentially build on your software? But let's step back and start with a bit of history. I've been trying to trace the origins of the README file, but as so often in software engineering, there isn't one answer, but many. Suffice to say that it started probably around the 1960s at a time when engineers found it necessary to leave some helpful notes about a piece of code in human-readable format. A link I provided in the episode notes has some examples from later years, the 1970s and the 1980s, when READMEs were in fact simple text files. READMEs took another step in the early 2000s, and it happened with two major introductions, the first of which was the formalize of what we now know as the Markdown formatting, which is credited to John Gruber from the year 2004. And a year later, in 2005, Linus Torvalds published the first version of Git, the version control system which is now used in source code repositories like GitHub, which launched sometime around 2008, followed by GitLab launching around 2014, and of course other repositories. Both the Markdown format and proliferation of source code repositories led to what is now a standard way of creating and storing README documents. The first is to write them in a Markdown format, and the second is to include them in the top directory of your source code repository, typically alongside a license file. README files have particularly found prominence in the free and open source software project and library community. Indeed, the new manual adds the README file as part of the software release in Chapter 7.3, where it says the following. The distribution should contain a file named README with a general overview of the package. The name itself is interesting. It really is a shout-out, reinforced by the fact that it is typically written all in capital letters. As such, it's hard to miss in a repository. It simply begs to be read. As I mentioned before, today's README files are written using Markdown formatting language rather than plain text. This allows structuring of the text, including highlighting, lists, headers, and other formatting tools, such as used for code snippets. And you will find a link for the Markdown format in the episode notes. When it comes to creating README files, modern repositories such as GitHub and GitLab make it very simple for you. On GitHub, for example, the page Create a New Repository will contain an option to create a README file. Make sure that you check this option. Likewise on GitLab, where actually the default option is to include a README file. In both cases, README files are created with Markdown formatting as default, and you will see a file with a Markdown extension, for example .md, in the root directory of your new repository or project. If you do have an existing repository with no README file, simply create one in the top directory of your project and make sure you use a Markdown extension for the file rather than a plain text file extension. Some of you might wonder what to put in a README file when the project is brand new. But don't worry for now if it has no content or simply one line. The main thing is that you start with a README file. As Julian will explain in the interview a little bit later, the content will incrementally grow, just like your software, really. So let's talk about what should go into your README file, and then talk about how to structure it. To approach this, bear in mind that the README is the first file users will see and read when they go to your repository. On GitHub and GitLab, for instance, the formatted README is automatically shown when you go to a repository page. This makes the README really the shop window for your project and source code. Put yourself into the shoes of a visitor and user of your code and think, what is it that they should know about my software? What would they need to run and install it? And typically this boils down to the following minimum of what a README should contain. The name of the software or your library, an explanation, a brief one, what the software does and what it's for, how to install it, how to run it or how to import it in case it's a library, highlight dependencies in case users need to install other packages as well, and provide links to license, funding organizations and acknowledgements where necessary. And this should be enough to get users started with your software. If you think it helps, you may also include supplementary files such as audio and video, screenshots, and links to references and tutorials. One thing that I personally find very useful is an instruction on how to test your code. As we mentioned in the previous version of Bite-sized RSE, testing is a core part of software development, and nowadays open source projects contain a test suite, and the README file should contain instructions on how to run the tests. Well, that's quite a lot already, and you may wonder how on earth am I going to write all of this. But the good news is, as I mentioned already, you usually start with a very small and lightweight README file. It will grow as your code grows. And this brings us to another important point of READMEs, how to structure it. It's a little bit like writing code, really, if you think about it. Let's say you start with a short script in Python and you will write it in one file. But as you add more functions, classes, you will start restructuring your code, create new files, and even modules or packages. And it's really the same with READMEs. Markdown formatting, as mentioned, gives you nice options for structuring the text, and this includes creating, for instance, a table of content. But if your README gets too long, don't shy away from creating supplementary documentation. For instance, in larger software packages, it's not unusual to provide separate README files for modules or sub-packages in folders of your repo. The main README then simply points to these additional documents via links. The same holds for references such as API references or extensive tutorials. There are luckily some great examples available on how to structure and write README files. You will find some of them in the episode notes, and I do encourage you to take a look at them. And now it's time for my conversation with Julian. Hello, Julian. Thank you for your time today. Before we start talking about README files, maybe you can quickly introduce yourself.
My name is Julian Lenz. I'm a research software engineer at Swansea University. I'm working here mostly on reproducible data analysis in the context of lattice quantum field theory, but I have secondments in performance optimization, also in the realm of lattice quantum field theory. I've been working on my PhD in Jena before that in the context of lattice quantum field theory. Yeah, and now I'm here in Swansea.
And Jena, for those not in the know, that happens to be in Germany. Okay, so today's subject for the bite-sized RSE session is README files. What I would like to know from you is how you use them, if you use them. I guess that you have GitHub repositories, and what your recommendations are should go into them.
Well, first of all, I think about them quite a bit. On the one hand, we actually teach that as part of our making data analysis code public course. And that is like chapter 1 is bringing it into Git. Chapter 2 is having a README file. As long as you don't have a README file, we say that anything is better than not having a README file. Because really, it's like the box your software comes in. If you would go to the store and you see some strange object without box and anything that could tell you what it is, you probably wouldn't buy it. Having something the interested person can go to and have a look at is really valuable in all cases. Of course, then after you have it, you have to go into the details of what actually goes in there and that you keep it up to date, which is another very important thing to do. In general, you have to think about it, and it's very important, I'd say.
I think it's quite interesting that you say you think about it quite a lot and that it's part of the course that you're offering. What should go into it? So, because there is, of course, a lot of documentation that can go into or that should describe software. Like, for instance, if you're thinking about an API and all the different functions and license and all of that. So there's potentially quite a huge amount of material and text that needs to go into a README file. How would you build a README file? What is it that you teach your students?
Well, I would, as always in software, do it incrementally. If I have my, 20 lines of Python script, I maybe have one line of README saying, this is a Python script that does produce this one plot, something like that. If then, for some reason, this repository gets larger, I might at some point actually need to describe how to use that, because now there are 10 functions and not one or two. I would maybe add a section about installation and about usage and let that grow a bit. Maybe at some point other concerns become more important. I maybe want to have contributions from the community, so I would put in a small section on how to do that. Licensing is, of course, important, and you might want to mention that there. But really, I think the approach should be as incremental as everything in software.
So when you have large amounts of material, like, for instance, API references and things like that, would that go into a README file? Or would you put that into a separate file or folder?
That is an interesting point, I'd say. Working incrementally gives you the chance to actually change that over time. I would, in my 10 Python files, maybe have all the documentation in the README, have a 5-page long README with a short description of each function. If it then becomes 20 Python files or 100 Python files, at some point you don't want to have that in the README anymore. And you would separate that out into a documentation that is then more focused on what you actually have to document and gets some special effort in caring about that. And this approach also helps you, I think, in keeping the README up to date, because I think you should always grow it together with the code so that it's importantly always up to date. But if it gets too intense to keep it up to date on all the small changes that you make, you might want to have a separate entity that you care separately about, like a documentation or a tutorial or something like that. Grow it, and when it gets too big, shrink it down again and outsource something to more dedicated resources.
I think that's quite an important tip, actually, because you should approach it you should approach it in the same way you approach code. You start off with maybe a small function, as you say, but as it grows, you don't put everything into one file or into one class or into one function. You break it down into modules, and the same basically holds for the documentation as well. And for the README file. Is that what you're saying?
Indeed, that is very important, yeah.
The other thing that I want to touch on, the last one really, is at what stage should you create a README file and why?
Really, as early as possible, I'd say. It is no effort if it's a one-liner. Even when I don't think about publishing my code at some point, I often put a README file in just for myself. So I know in like a year when I have to go back to that code, what it actually did. As I said, I grow it over time. But really, it is a really important part, because anything about any feature that is not documented somewhere just doesn't exist from the user perspective. And as long as you don't have a dedicated documentation, as you might not want to have for a 10-file small repository, you need to document that somewhere.
Finally, then, and I said, I one last question, and then there's one more last question. So here's one more last question, which hopefully is a very short one. Where does it actually go, the README file? Where would people find it?
Definitely in the main directory, so the top-level directory of your code. There are approaches where you put additional README files somewhere else. That could be an option. For example, if your code is very modular or you have some special other resources you have in there that need separate explanation. So if you feel it's necessary somewhere other than the top-level directory, also add it there. That can't harm anyone, but the top-level directory should definitely have one.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Julian, and all the best for the future.
Thank you for the nice interview.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Code for Thought Bite-Sized. The content and the interactive bite-sized RSE sessions are created and run by Jeremy Cohen from Imperial College London and Steve Crouch from Southampton University. The podcast episodes are produced by Peter Schmidt. Finally, we'd like to thank Universe HPC for their continuous support. And with that, goodbye.